This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Welcome to episode 82 of the Rex Chapman Show with my super dope homeboy from the Lex Town, Josh Hopkins. What up, Josh?
What's happening, Rex Everett Chapman?
I'm good. I'm good. You, buddy? How's Austin?
It's nice. It's good. Yeah, it's good. Things are beautiful weather. How about there in Brooklyn?
Brooklyn, warm. It's 82-ish today and lovely outside.
Really, yeah. a tame winter for you guys, right?
One snow for one day. I think maybe once it got down to like 10 degrees. Other than that, it was above freezing the whole winter. Wow. Now we've got a flood going on in Miami. See that?
An all-time flood, like 22 inches of rain.
The airport is flooded. There's like 2 feet of standing water on the tarmac, on the runway. What? Well, imagine flying into there right now, seeing that.
I saw a video of a guy swimming down a street there.
Yeah. Good luck. Fun. He's going to create a new virus strain.
Hey, you know, we like to let the listeners know what we're reading, spread some knowledge. Let's do book club. What'd you read this week?
Not a thing. You?
Nothing. That's been book club. You know,
episode 82, Josh. 82. I can't believe it. Famous 82s you can think of in sports.
I mean, that's you're looking at a lot of wide receivers there.
Yeah,
Ozzie Newsome. That's an old
Ozzie Newsome.
I loved him. Loved him.
Jason Witten, and one of my favorite 82s, John Stallworth.
Wow. Yeah, we're really showing our age.
Yes, we are. I'm sure there are plenty of great 82s right now.
Of course, I would have gone just to remember. I'd go. Afro Kobe and the friend of the show, Larry Johnson.
Was ooh, great too. Well done.
He was a well great done. Show. That's how I remember.
Personally. Okay. I don't know that I can even. Antoine Walker was 8. Also, Augman. Stacey Augman wore 2 in Atlanta.
See? There you go.
Josh.
Speaking of wide receivers,
mm-hmm, well done, mm-hmm. Bubba. We have a good one today, and another one of our sort of Kentucky homeboys. Mm-hmm. You want to get to him? Let's get to him. We have 8-year NFL receiver, 3 straight 1,000-yard seasons with the Bills, first team all SEC with the Kentucky Wildcats, 3rd all-time single season receiving record. Welcome, Stephen John Johnson.
Hey, Stephen. Thank you.
We do full names.
Yeah. I appreciate it, man. That's when they first heard about me in Kentucky, knowing about that Stephen Johnson. Good to be a part of this crew.
Man,
we're so happy to have you, man. You're a football legend at Kentucky for sure, and obviously in Buffalo. But my friend's going to go crazy for this episode, just so you know.
Hey, before we get into football and everything, you hooped. You played basketball.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, that was my thing. You know, growing up, you know, we played almost everything. We played baseball, basketball, track. We was doing soccer if we could. Well, we didn't do a lot of soccer, but, you know, football was basically one of the streets. But, you know, basketball is my first love, you know, being able to play with my friends and going to different areas in San Francisco and going against those communities. It was something different about basketball that I enjoy, you know, and I had a coach Fully in San Francisco. He was like a tough coach, you know, and he gave us that fire that like what they call now is that dog, you know. it gave me a somewhere where I can release my, you know, my frustrations or, you know, that pressure or anything, just be like, rah, you could be anything on the court. But and that's where I just developed that love for the game and then the skill, you know, the movements and how to make people move to where you want them to go. It was just dope. It was something dope about it.
What kind of player were you? What position? What was your strengths and what were your weaknesses on the court?
Yeah, so I wasn't really I wasn't shooting the three ball like three can shoot, but you know, I can make a few buckets, but I was more like slasher playmaker. You know, I can pass it, I can make the plays, I can go up and get it. I was like that. You know what I'm saying?
It's, you know, fun. It's funny you mentioned the passing because I think that that's a fun part of if you can. Not everybody can pass, but if you can pass, it's not only fun for your teammates, it's fun for you because you get to be really imaginative and creative. And it's just it's a fun part of the game that I would guess football doesn't have, and, you know, not at every position all the time, you know?
Right, right. That's the uniqueness of it. And at the time, like, I was only hooping just to, you know, have fun with my homies, you know, so that they can have a good time. Cause I know I'm the guy, you know, when you know, you're the star of the team. You can always go score and be the ball hog or whatnot, but I wanted to have my boy get a three so he can talk about something too. That's the type of spirit I had. So that's why I had to throw that passing in, because exactly like you said, that's a whole different feeling.
No question. Did that help you in football at all, having played basketball?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's what set it off, really. That's what slowed the game down completely for me. You know, when I first started in with football, you know, I didn't play receiver. I never played defensive back. I was a quarterback and I played like linebacker, defensive end, wherever the best guy was. So then I got invited to a Stanford camp and they just threw me in as a DB. And you know, I felt like I couldn't cover none of these dudes. I seen them running by all fast. So I switched right there and went to receiver. And from there, I didn't have no training at all. Only training I had was watching Rex Chapman videos and watching Allen Iverson. And so I was just like, I'm going to just mesh the two and I'm going to run my routes. And I was getting open on guys that was 3 stars, 4 stars, 5 stars. I had none. And that kind of gave me a little boost right there. So that's where it all started, with combining basketball with football. And you know, as I kept going to different levels, I continued to learn different things and how to utilize it even more.
Because you didn't play organized ball, is it true, until your junior year?
Yeah. Wow. So,
that's amazing.
We was actually going to like different schools, you know. I was at a school that had a lot of history, and I was like, I wasn't really ready for football. I felt like my mind wasn't there. I only played basketball, you know, which we actually went undefeated that year. So I wasn't really even thinking about football. Like, right. I stepped or I missed anything, you know, recruiting. I didn't even know nothing about recruiting. I was, once again, I'm just playing to play with my friends. So then I ended up transferring to another school that was just newly built. You know, I wanted to, you know, start history for myself. I wanted to be, you know, on the map as the first guy. So I ended up transferring to schools, and they didn't have a program until like our junior year. So, you know, one thing led to another. Wow. And I ended up becoming the first to go pro from there, you know, just setting that bar.
That's crazy.
That's amazing.
It is.
To start that so late, especially now everything's so specific, the route running and whatnot. You were kind of known as your own style of route running. Like, it had to be tough for DBs to get ready to cover you because you were your own entity.
Why was that? What was unique about that with you?
To be honest, I was like, man, I sat back and I was thinking like, man, these DBs, they train in the same way. They training for the same type of person. They looking at ladder drills. They watching us do the ins and outs and stuff. But are they watching basketball? You know, are they training for that, to defend somebody on the basketball court? And I'm like, I guarantee you they not playing pickup games like I am in the offseason, because that's how it's working. And so I just took a chance. I took a chance and said, I'm going to try it. I'm going to try it here on the NFL level now. You know, that was trying it in high school. I mean, not high school, I'm sorry. Trying it going into college, like junior college, that's something different. When you in the NFL now, in the pros, you know, all I'm thinking is you make one mistake and you cut. It's over with.
Right.
You know, no money stream, no nothing. So I finally just said, forget it. I'm going to just try it here. And then, and it worked. And I took it from there on, you know, with that's no genius. Support. Too. With no support, because the coaches didn't teach it like that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, I know. That's what I mean. What was it like in the wide receivers room when they were, you know, showing film and you're getting open and everything they know is that you're doing it wrong? Well, you had to, the wide receivers coach, what did he say?
Nothing at all. He like, they didn't say nothing. Cause one, I'm a seventh round draft pick. It just, hey, good job, Steve. Good job, Steve. But it's not being talked about at all because he's not teaching this. He's not teaching this style.
Right.
You know, there was no terminology for how shifty it was. You know, he just went on to the next. You know, and I'm glad that that happened because it comes full circle with how I mentor the kids now. You know, you got to be able to, even if you win and you can't be the, you can't speak all the time. You still got to know your role, know your place. When it's time to go and when it's time to just chill. You know, and I had, and that was my time to chill, not to be bragging to the coach, like, look, I'm beating this guy and et cetera, et cetera. I was just waiting for my turn, you know?
Yeah. That's beautiful. I mean, just to have that perspective, how long was it after, you know, they saw, oh, okay, he can do this. He does this. How long was it before you started noticing guys trying to copy it and coaches trying to teach it? Have they?
It probably be like in my sixth or seventh year is when I start kind of hearing like this person been watching your film and stuff like, wait, somebody been watching me. Like, but it took me 3 years to get on the field and be able to, show that. So I had to wait. I really had to wait my turn. And just not complain. Love practice.
Yeah.
Love practice, going to practice. Then I seen like T.O. came in and he was like 36 years old. I'm 36 right now. And he was there competing with the rookies on the cold days, the hot day. He just loved practice competing. So, you know, that's what you got. That's what I want to instill to this younger generation. Just like, don't worry about the nonsense or whatever. Just compete every day, practice. And, you know, you get to the next level if you don't think so, right?
That's great advice. That's what I feel really lucky because I played sports just like you did. You know, Josh and I both did, played every sport growing up. You just went from season to season to season. I was never thinking about making money playing sports. I loved playing sports. I think I loved it because I was doing something, but I also liked the success that I was having with it. You know, it made me feel good about me. You know, I started understanding, oh, people like the way I do that. And I like the way it makes me feel. So, you know, you become, if you don't love it like that, you're probably not going to end up making it too far. And I just feel lucky that I never was looking at it as a job. I wanted to get a scholarship, you know, right. That was it. That was the whole goal, you know, just so my folks don't have to pay for me to go to college. As long as I get that, I'm straight. And,
it was like tunnel vision, like our blockers, you know, through a lot of levels that kids nowadays, they don't have a blockers on. They just so here. Instead of we was just doing it for the love and it just excelled us through each level. And then like you did that, we all know Rex Chapman, you know what I'm saying? Like Lexington from the area, you know what I'm saying? Like you was the dude. The same way I've seen Tayshaun Prince come from California and do what he did at Kentucky, and that inspired me. It's like your time, you was the Tayshaun. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get it. I get it.
Yeah, man, like that's wild.
It's the same though in not just in every profession. If you have passion for what you're doing, you're going to outwork the other people because it's not work; it's love. You enjoy doing it. So I've told kids, you know, I've been like, look, you can do this or that, but if you can become like, if you are the best at making paper airplanes, the best, you can get paid to do that. You can do it well. If you love that and become the best, that's, you make a lot of money.
Right. And not have to be thinking about, like, in your case, the casting, because I know that's probably like, come on, I got to go here. I got to try out or audition. But this and that, you know what I'm saying? It can get tedious or stressful. But if you're doing it for the love, like I understand, this is a part of it. you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I might get more opportunities. You may get more opportunities that way.
Right.
You know, the energy is different. The vibes is different, you know.
Absolutely.
Exactly. You grew up in the Bay Area, Bayview, Hunters Point. What was that like? And, you know, you're growing up at a time, you're younger, but you're growing up at a time when Jerry Rice and Dion and those guys are playing out there. How did they mold you into the player you became?
Yeah. It was showtime. It was great because now I run with a mantra and the motto of handle biz, have fun. And that's pretty much what it was growing up at that time. You know, from the streets, it was, you know, you handle your business. But when you look around, it's like people are having fun, too. But they is work's going on in those Hunters Point Hills. But then when you look on TV and you see the teams, you got Dion and you got T.O. doing the dances, mm-hmm. but like they handling the business, but they having fun at the same time. So that kind of molded me into that type of player in person. And a versatile thinker, you know, from the streets to the television screen, because I can only get to watch them from TV. Never went to the games.
Really?
But yeah, you can see like it's they having handling the business and having fun. That's how you make it. That's how you keep the smiles on the face. So when I got my chance to play basketball at the rec gym or Pop Warner, I'm making sure I'm gonna have fun when I'm scoring a touchdown or getting that bucket, you know, or playing defense, you know. So
that's, you know, it's funny. I'm glad you brought that up. You know what? Because Josh and I are virtually the same age. I'm way younger though. we're virtually the same age, and Dion is a couple years older, and so we remember when Dion was doing his stuff, and a lot of people did not like it. They didn't like how he was doing that. And look, let's fast forward. We were all just being taught it's disrespectful to show up the other team. Well, okay. It's also entertainment. It's also, you can have fun out there. It's allowed, you know, you don't want to taunt guys too much, but you kind of do a little bit here and there. It's sports. And until, you know, guys like Dion, we didn't have a lot of showtime kind of, you know, look at me and what I'm doing and all that. The thing that I loved about Dion was it was 100% authentic. It's just who he is. It's just who he is. He didn't force it, you know, and he and Jerry Rice were different, you know, very different, but very much, you know, the same as professional. So professional, right?
Exactly. And it's just how we exactly, it's like entertainment at the end of the day. You know, we're not thinking as we're not really mean or trying to be bullied at these guys, but this is how we be hyped. This is how we be entertaining ourselves and our community.
I think there should be a rule, though. You should have to be good to do all that.
For sure. You know, well, you got to be
do that first.
Do it, then it's fair. It's a fair game. My coach, RIP to my coach, but he kicked me out of a game because I was high step from the 50-yard line in Pop Warner. I didn't know what I did wrong. I felt like nobody's in front of me, so I'm gonna do what I seen on TV, and. He took me out, man. Dwayne Osteen, he's a former NFL guy too. He's military mindset, but yeah, he felt was disrespecting the team. But really, I was just doing what I saw on TV, what the pros did.
Yeah, no, you played with a passion, and you could tell you were having fun.
Indeed.
You played with a passion, and then what? Twice you did the T-shirt.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Now, you were playing at.
Cincinnati.
The Bengals, yeah. And they had Terrell Owens and
Chad Ochocinco.
Ochocinco, yeah. And they call themselves Batman and Robin. And then what happened?
Precisely, yeah. So, like, once again, here we go. Now I'm going up against a guy that I watched growing up, a guy who came from – I was a second-year guy, and he came in T.O., and now he's over it with Chad Ochocinco. And I watched Ochocinco and how he ran his routes. He was different. You know, he was a handle biz, have fun type of guy also. And now they on the same team going up against me. This is a great time to be. They call themselves Batman and Robin.
Yeah.
Be the Joker. I'm going to come.
Let's
you
know go.
Throw the party. So, you know, I end up scoring a couple touchdowns, lifting up the shirt and just saying, like, why so serious, having some fun. And, I got in trouble. I got in trouble for it. And, once again, that's just how I was molded. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. What are you talking about? How we came up. We had a biz. We had fun. It wasn't disrespectful at all. But, yeah, I got some heat for that. And I just kept going with it. You know, a New Year's game came around. So I ended up getting in the end zone. Hey, you got to be good to be able to do it.
That's right. That's right.
Got in the end zone. It was a hard catch, too. The sun was in my eyes. And I made the play and then lift up, said Happy New Year. So it got $20,000 fine again. Like, well, okay, for saying Happy New Year.
Yeah, but come on.
It is what it is. It was all fun and it's all worth it in the game of entertainment.
You know, so Rex, in that Batman movie, you know, the Joker says, "Why so serious?" to Batman. So it was fantastic.
Yeah.
That was entertainment. And now they allow that a little bit more, maybe not to that, but they've it's no longer the no fun league.
Right.
Which they were calling it then. What is it about wide receivers? I mean, those are the guys
I have a theory.
Okay.
I have a theory. It's because it's like the dunkers. They're sexy. They do all the sexy, athletic, fast, high flying stuff. And you get to see them in space. They're not with people. They can show off anytime they really want to, my opinion. DBs are much the same because they make plays in space. And, you know, a lot of times football is just, you know, in there on the line and you don't watch a lot of that. When guys can get out and express themselves athletically, they know it makes the crowd loves it. TV loves it.
And we can take it even deeper than that is, look at the amount of running that they do, the amount of running that the DBs, that the receivers, that the running backs. And then we think about a quarterback. They also have that diva mindset because they throwing it so accurately like that. That's a gift, right? You know, so when you running that much, you want to say, man, I just ran dang near a mile today. Y'all got to see me. Y'all better acknowledge, you know, a DB. I've been backpedaling about a half a mile, twisting and turning. And I mean, you better acknowledge me. Come on. So I think that's why we're also the divas of the league, those groups.
That makes a lot of sense.
It does. It really does.
Indulge me for a second, if you would, Stevie, because it's Slore. It's one of the arguably the most beloved play in the history of UK football. Stevie Got Loose.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, so it's 2007. September 17th, Kentucky's playing Louisville in the Governor's Cup at then Commonwealth Stadium, not Kroger Field. And it's like a minute left. Kentucky's down one, got the ball, trying to drive, got a first down. And then there was a penalty, like unsportsmanlike conduct, sent us way back. There's like 36 seconds left. Will you take us through that play? And what do you remember about it when you came to the line?
Yeah. So let me take you back a little bit further.
Okay. Please do.
To start it off, those guys beat us 56 to probably 14 the year before.
Right.
You know, their house. So we're already coming in with the mindset we need to avenge what happened last year. And then before the game, I get a message from we got a mutual friend in Roy Combs and also shout out to Grand Slam Cards. They motivated me with a card, like a trading card. And it kind of sparked my mind, like, wow, like the vision of a pro card, but it was me on it. You know, he was able to create. So I'm so inspired and motivated to go into this game now. It didn't matter what was going to happen, you know? So now fast forward to that play in that situation. We get the penalty. Eric Scott, he got the penalty because the guy was doing too much with Dre. We went to the huddle. We man, good job. You should have done that because he was doing something wrong. So we was like, man, we got you. We got you. We ran that play twice. So when we ran it the first time, I was kind of open on the sideline, like it was there. But Dre kept looking at Jacob Tammy. It was incomplete. Then we lined it up again. And we started to run it, but we got that penalty. I seen it was going to be open again. Like, me and Dre kind of looked and kind of connect like, hey, And here we go. We lined it up again and said hike. Didn't matter if we was third and 48. It was going to be there. That defense that they was in, it was going to be there. Snuck right behind them. Boom. The rest was history. The rest
that
was history.
That was probably the loudest Commonwealth.
It gives me chills.
It can only be tied. It can only be tied.
And speak about that. That's another basketball thing. The eye contact. Mm-hmm. And it's a look, and it's just like,
yep, that's
you're just shaking your head. Mm-hmm. Both of you have, you're on exactly the mm-hmm. same wavelength. Talk to me for a second about what that feels like, you know, just to have that with another person, you know, that sort of telepathy almost.
Yeah, it's great because you kind of think about the failures. You know, I when we had that moment and when we had that moment, I kind of went back to when we was in summer camp. When I first got in, I was the guy who I'll run a go ball, and every time it's in the air, I'm going to try to go up and jump and get it. You know, all I know is to go jump and get it. So I did that a few times, and then Dre put me to the side and was like, look, I'm going to put it there for you. All you got to do is just keep running, and it's going to be right there, you know? And without that talking, right. You know what I mean?
That experience, yes.
I did, you know, and so it was like, it's just special. It's special. So, you know, work out with quarterbacks. And I've been actually fortunate to have good quarterbacks in my career, even though I've had many. But they've all been willing to do work on the off days, you know? So if anybody listening, kids listening, yeah. Man, days is no off day. You feel me?
Hey, 3512 Stonewood Drive, Los Angeles, California. That's where I was. It was that big of a play.
It was huge for us. That was like one of our biggest games, you know. Till then, you know, till later on in the season, we had another big game.
Yeah, but, you beat number one LSU. What'd that feel like?
Yeah, that was a cool one.
And also, you caught the play too. You caught the pass too.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
we got the guy. We got the guy.
I know we do.
It was a blessing. You know, another interesting thing is the year before when we lost to Louisville, Dickie Lyons has some stat. His stat line was like a great stat line. I was like, I just want to have one of those stat lines. I need to have that. And the year after, I pretty much had the same stat line that Dickie had.
Damn.
That, you know, with the dub. It's just like, man, you got to just grind. Keep your prayers up and grind. And it was like completely similar. Two touchdowns, one early, one long. You know, it was wild. It was wild.
I mean, man, people dream to have one, you know, or just to have the opportunity to be in uniform and watching it from the side. It's pretty special. Let me ask you this. When you're from the Bay Area, what were your first thoughts when you touched down in Lexington, Kentucky, and went on your visit?
Yeah.
And why Kentucky in the end?
Yeah, that's dope. Good question. So when I got to Kentucky, I was like, this is where I want to be instantly. It was no shell shock at all. You know what I mean? Because I came from San Francisco, was the inner city. Point. And then we moved up once I got to high school up to Fairfield, California. You know what I mean? So it wasn't necessarily like all white out there, but it was like.
But it was more rural.
Yeah. It was rural and a mixture of people. So I guess that kind of prepared me. And then when I got the opportunity to go to Kentucky from junior college, you know, your only thought is to get out. I got to get out. Yeah. So when Kentucky came and you see, and Coach Ron Carriger came and he had blue eyes. He had the blue jacket. It just looked different from where we was. It's just dark. And then he just had that blue. And I'm like, dang, okay. They came to see me. Yeah. I want to do a visit there. And I got there. I flew into Lexington and Wesley Woodyard was there to, Wesley Warrior was there to pick me up and take me around. And from there, I was just seeing like the university, you know, like, dang, like this is really it. And I was like, I knew I was going to go there. But now I got to rewind it. You know what I mean? Now rewind it, you know?
Yeah.
Remember, we was talking about Tayshaun Prince. Now, that's way before, you know what I'm saying? So how do y'all know about Kentucky Prince? I didn't. I just turned on the TV one time, and I seen this light-skinned dude with this the Kentucky jersey, and it was the fans, the Blues, that Rupp, and he was just bringing up with that left hand, doing that floater, you know, and that's when I started working on my floater. So that blue, and then years later in junior college, this blue come in and saying, hey, we want to meet with you. I was already like, okay, dang, you know? And then I take the visit. I'm like, I'm here, you know? It was meant to be for me, I felt.
That's straight. You know, the way things work, it's like no one had any idea that Tayshaun Prince was recruiting our best wide receiver in the history of our program when he was putting up left-handed floaters.
Yeah, and it's only because he was from California. I was like, a kid in Kentucky? Okay, you can go out of state.
You can do that, right? That's amazing.
Yeah, I thought it was amazing. I didn't even know it was the SEC, you know?
That's amazing, yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah. So in the NBA, you have three or four opponents a week, and it seems like you never have enough time. Never have enough time to study your opponent. When you have a week or two to prepare against a defense or even a specific opponent, how do you maximize that preparation time, bro?
Yeah, it's a lot of with the iPad, you know, it's a lot of just repetition. That's
you
all
you have to, but in football at that level, and I would imagine probably even in college now, you have to embrace the study, correct?
Indeed. There's different levels of embracing that study though, also.
Right.
And I can speak differently because I went through levels where I wouldn't even look at the opponent as much. You know, I would just want to see, okay, what's his height? What's his weight? What type of DB is he? Is he a quick twitch guy? Is he a physical guy? And then let me watch a few snaps on what he's done. And then that's all I want to see because I don't want to be too enamored with him that I'm losing, you know? So I went through stages of that, and I've went through stages where I just focused on that DB, you know? And it's all from my knowledge. The best way is to go about it at all. Don't be locked in on one, but work on your craft and how you can implement your craft within your game plan. You know, the defense is just moving pieces, you know, and the defenders, they're all a certain type. You got to be able to identify which is which. That way you don't have to lock in so much on this guy, you know, it's just another moving piece in this area that I know, you know, with tendency types, you know? So it's a lot of ends, you know. If you want to think that, you know, some people can keep it simple and just run their route. You know,
I remember, you know, in high school, even in college, I don't know that I really, we watched film, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't like broken down and stuff. You'd watch 15 minutes of film in a row and, you know, go out to the court. And I remember so film in high school was non-existent when I was growing up, and then had it a little bit in college. And then film started becoming more and more in the NBA.
There wasn't even film at all when you were in high school. There was no TV.
Right.
There was no radio. There were no cars.
Yeah. But I remember at some point, though, the film, and maybe it wasn't until I was getting older, starting to take a little bit of the fun out of it. Like it was becoming, like you said, I don't want to get in my head too much about what they're doing. And can't you get bogged down with too much of it, too much information, overload?
Yeah, that's when you got to know yourself. You know, that's when you got to be able to sit in that meeting room and be like, yeah, I got you, coach, but you really not there. You know, I got to tell them every way that I went about it, you know. Like, once again, when you young and T.O. in there or Lee Evans speaking, you know, and you killing them, but they probably you ain't got to talk all the time, you know, but just be present and go about it. And your time will come when it does.
And then because obviously everyone's process is different, but then when you started to become more of a vet in the league, how did you help the young guys that came in?
Exactly. I just let them know how the game slowed down for me once I, you know, really start watching film. And that actually started in Kentucky. You know, shout out to Keenan Burton and Dickie Lyons and DeMario Ford. I came from junior college, once again, like high school, with no film. We ain't watching nothing. It's just straight skill, basically, you know.
Right.
I know I'm about to go up against. I'm going to just go beat him. But then when I got to Kentucky, the game was super fast. Played against Florida. I ran a hitch route. The guy was on me like white on rice. I'm like, there's no way I'm going to be able to make it to the league if this guy's on me like this, you know? So I asked Keenan and Dickie, you know, how do you guys get space? Why y'all so comfortable right now, you know? And he was like, do you know about coverages, cover two, cover three, et cetera, this and that? I'm like, nah, not really. So they took me into the receiver room and they sat me down and watched film and it just clicked. Everything was just clicking for me and the game slowed down. And, you know, I took that situation and brought it to the league with certain young receivers at the time and young DBs at the time. Now they're like, one won a Super Bowl already. But we sit down at lunchtime during training camps and we go over film. This is why this person's doing this. This is why I'm doing this, you know, like really labbing and game planning with each other. And I think that that's where that film study helps with mentoring these other kids in today's game.
Stevie, you just released your second children's book, Turning Your Time to on the Football Field into Life Lessons for the Next Generation. How can sharing your story be a resource for kids?
Oh, man, because I just feel like I'm an example of good and bad. You know, I'm not a perfect example. And what I wanted to do with this children's book is I just wanted to spark the minds of the younger generation now. Obviously, I have kids and, you know, I'm interested in reading books to them, coloring with them. Them creating their own magazine. So, hey, let me create something and utilize my life lessons to inspire others too. And I didn't want to force anything. You know, I didn't want to go out and look for publishing and this and that. You know, it happened organically. Again, I ran into a guy, Charles, I call him Professor Charles now. And we met in Buffalo and he was a writer. You know, he had an idea and he sent me a script. You know, I went over and edited it. You know, it was too perfect. It was too perfect. I wanted to keep it more authentic, you know, ups and downs, and then teach kids about perseverance, you know, teach kids about love and helping each other and community. And I think it's been great. It's been a success. We've been doing tours up in around Buffalo and we coming out with our second. We partner with Fred Jackson and we have more on the way. We got a third coming out and after this one. But
so yeah, it's well, there's always a way with Stevie J and Freddie J makes his play.
Yep. All stories just about overcoming, you know, and believing in yourself and like support, you know. Letting out everybody's story out. Man, I love to get a children's book with you guys, you know, because everybody got the story to tell, you know.
Fantastic.
Well, let me ask you this. Like 12-year-old little Stevie Johnson, would he believe less that he would be in the NFL or that he would someday be doing tours because he wrote two children's books?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. The books is wild to me, you know. It's wild to me, but it's not far off, you know, because, you know, I had a father figure that raised me and he wrote a book, you know, he wrote a book about his time coming up in the area.
You could do it. You knew you could do it.
Yeah. So if you got a vision of it, then I guess you can tell that it's possible. Like, how did he have a book? You know,
I thought
certain types had books, you know, like, right. Yeah, he did it. So it wasn't far off, but I never would have thought I'd be now touring schools, flying out in and out to do speaking engagements on behalf of this. You know, I was actually locked in on football. I got in trouble one day and I said, I don't care what y'all say. I'm going to the league. Y'all going to be sitting in the back of my car. I was locked in at that time. So it's like,
hey, who's the best? Great. Who's the top three wide receivers in the league right now?
Top three. I'm going to go. I got to give love to my boy Keenan Allen because I feel like he nobody can guard him. I'm going to slide to Buffalo with Stephon Diggs. What he's doing is amazing, you know, him being a late round draft pick, sixth round, I believe. So shout out to the late round guys. And who just won? Who won?
Who did the
Eagles
just win?
No, the Eagles didn't win.
No, who was it? Who just won the Super Bowl?
I don't think I have a third right now. Maybe I.
Mahomes.
The Chiefs. Okay, yeah, then I go with Travis Kelce then. I know he's a tight end, but receiver's hybrid.
Yeah, he's hybrid.
He's shifty. He moved like a receiver. So I would just say those type of guys because, you know, they're kind of you can't guard them. You can't guard those guys.
If you were – if it's a GM Stevie Johnson right now and you got the first pick in this year's draft, who would you take?
If I was a GM, what team you giving me? Do I?
You don't have a quarterback.
Oh, I don't have no quarterback. Yeah, mm-hmm. I'll take the kid from Ohio State.
Okay. Ohio State. Because they really don't know who's going to go first. You know, yeah. And Kentucky's got it.
Kentucky, Will Levis. I talked to an insider at Kentucky who says he's real.
I've seen his game. The thing that I would want with the receivers, I was gonna add, is we grab a receiver with him. With the quarterbacks, yeah, get a receiver to go with them. And I'm telling you, if they just make that connection, like it don't matter what happened. Yeah. I know safety valve here, you know, then it's cool. Beautiful. Or a tight end, you know, a tight end is even easier. That's why I put Kelce in my top three. That's a safety valve. Any quarterback. You know,
no disrespect to any quarterback you played with at all, but if you had played with Tom Brady for your career, what do you think your stats would be like?
Man, you know, I think about it too. I think about it like, oh man, I just think it would have been good. We would have some success for sure because the way I get open, it would have just been easy for him to, you know what I'm saying? It's like the anticipation part of it, you know, yards after catch part of it.
Watching guys like him, though, you know, when you watch games on Sunday and you watch most of the games and then you watch his game, mm-hmm. you go, oh, my God, he's a machine. Yeah. He's a machine. The ball is right there. He doesn't miss throw. You know, it just doesn't happen like that. And to know that you're not having to go out here all the time, that it's right there. It's right there.
And you will get so many passes too. You know, I was just caught up. I was so caught up in the loyalty stage of, man, they beat us. So they've been our rivals. I got to beat them. I don't want to join. I've been joining all the time. I've been starting my dynasty everywhere I go, you know. I don't want to join one now. And then
I love that.
I love it too.
For that too, though, you know. Sometimes
that's all right.
I know one question I wanted to ask you. T-shirts, right?
Yeah.
Is there any we never got to see because the play didn't happen? Do you have some secret ones? There's gotta be.
Yeah. Yeah. I was gonna get my phone. I was gonna get in the end zone. I was gonna get the phone from underneath and I was gonna like go live. I was gonna go live as I was walking back from the end zone, you know. And then that would have been like the first time you can get the interactive hands in your social media with the. But
that would have been crazy.
Got to be better.
That would have been crazy.
Yeah, I would have prepared everything. I had my teammate bring the phone out, but I didn't get in that time.
Oh, that's great. That's funny.
That's great.
Yeah.
Steve, what's your favorite movie?
I go with Friday series. I'll go with Ice Cube Creation. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just right there. I know there's more that just came out and stuff. I can't think right now, but I'm just gonna go with the Friday series because Ice Cube.
Friend of the show.
Shout out to Cube Vision. You know, that's the reason
there you go.
I called the Cube Vision. That's pretty dope what he's doing, how he's trans evolved.
No question.
What about front row center to watch any singer, group, athlete? Anyone dead or alive, you sit front row center for it. Who's that?
I just recently went to see Bruno Mars with my wife, and it's a really good show. Like, Bruno Mars is really good. So,
okay.
Let's see. Who would she like to go see? I don't know. You know, Beyonce tickets like probably like 5,000 right now.
Yeah.
Hey, but you
can go.
You got
front row center.
Yeah,
you got
front row center. Beyonce. Yeah. That's nice.
Her and Jay-Z, right. You know.
Perform. Okay.
All right. I like it.
Steve, can't thank you enough, man. Come back and do this again. Come back during football season.
Indeed. So maybe we can do it at the Bills backer in Austin.
In Austin.
Yeah, and shout out to your boy Roy Combs, who really helped put this together. He's been great. So shout out to him. And we've been lucky to have you, a Kentucky legend.
Exactly. No question. Well, here we go. Right here.
Let's Kentucky. Go. That's right.
One love, guys.
All right, G. All right. Come on. Thank you, Stevie. Stevie Johnson.
Stevie Johnson. Got loose. Stevie got loose, baby. I love it.
What a fun guy. Well, can you imagine him as a teammate? Got to be everybody's favorite teammate.
Has to be. Just loves it.
I
hated football practice.
Oh, yeah.
Hated it.
The worst.
Every day you get in there, you're dreading it. Everything stinks. Yes. And, you know,
he got that helmet on. The helmet.
He loves it.
He loved it.
You could tell. That's why it was great. Just like we said.
Yeah. Yeah. You could just tell he has fun with it. And I love the part about, you know, not getting bogged down in the brain, watching film, looking at the coach sometimes and nodding your head, but letting it go in one ear and out the other, which is, you know, becomes vital at some point. You always want to listen to your coaches, but you got to also, you know, keep a bit of space in there to do some thinking for yourself.
And now he's finished his playing career, and he's written two children's books.
Come on.
I mean, oh, man, what am I doing with myself? I'm just eating beef jerky and watching TV. That was great, man. He was really fun and impressive.
Yeah. Well, that's been, Josh, 82 episodes. Come back again next week. Want to?
I really like to.
All right. Let's do it right back here. Same time again next week for the Rex Chapman Show with my super dope homeboy from the Lextown, Josh Hopkins, powered by basketballnews.com.